Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As it is written, joy and rejoicing always be the tabernacle of the righteous. The earth is full of darkness and the people cross darkness, for in our tabernacle there shall be joy and rejoicing. In the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This have I spoken unto you, he said that my joy might remain in you.
Amen.
And that your joy might be full. Father, we thank thee, Lord. Peace I leave with you, he said. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give, I give I unto you. Father, we thank you. David said, though the heart be removed, and the mountain is cast into the midst of the sea, that is the stream that maketh glad, make glad, you know, the people of God and so on. The holy tabernacle of the Most High, God is in our midst. We shall not be moved. In the almighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, we worship. Thank you for the time of worshiping and praising the Lord. Father, we worship and adore you. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. As we read your word this morning, we just trust you with all our heart that we live with a blessing.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
And in praise the Lord Jesus. Go with me to Revelation 21. The fourth couple of verses in India, Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the fourth heaven and the fourth earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and a light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Praise be the Lord Jesus. We are promised in Revelation 1:3, you know, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. So from the first two, one to two verses of this 21 of Revelation, we are told there is not only going to be a new heaven and a new earth, but there is also going to be the holy city, New Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. So this morning, the New Jerusalem, the bride's eternal home. Praise the Lord. Maybe in the past we touched on this, yes, you know, but each time, the Holy Ghost will give expand the revelation to his people. You can read the Bible many times, and God can still show you many, many new things. Praise the Lord. If it is not even new, we can renew our minds. Praise the Lord. Anyway, as what makes up a city, when you say city of Phoenix, right? People are thinking not about the skyscraper, not about the garden that you have in here and so on. They are thinking about the people. Praise the Lord. In the majority of cases. So, we also think that the New Jerusalem, is synonymous, or is actually, you know, talking about the bride, and, you know, of Christ. Because you mentioned it in the paper we read and so for the bride of Christ and so for that, you know. So, you know, that is, the New Jerusalem is the believer's eternal home and residence. Praise the Lord. People are naturally happy when moving to a new home. When I was 5 years old, I was born in a thatched house, you know, no iron roof or anything like that in the village and so on. So it was a thatched house. When I was five, then we had a new house, a two-story building, corrugated iron. Maybe about the second or third in the old village, right? That night, I remember at 5 years old, it was a moonlit light. How joyful we were, packing our things from the thatched house and running to the new house and so on like that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord Jesus. So now we know that the bride of Christ has a new home, preparing, you know, being ready for that. How happy should we be, amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. If we're moving to a heavenly home, I was so happy at 5 years old. How about now? Know the coming of the Lord right now and all the promises of God. Anyway, this great city, the New Jerusalem, the believer's eternal home, commands our most honest attention. The city is indeed unique. And today's most notable metropolitan center of the earth. Mention Chicago in the USA, maybe Cape Town in South Africa, or Sydney in Australia, or Paris in France, or Kyoto in Japan, or Venice in Italy, or Porto in Portugal. Name them. All these, you know, that evoke the admiration of men are, by comparison, miserable imitation compared to the New Jerusalem, the eternal home of the bride. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. You know, Christ is the king of this celestial habitation. Praise the Lord. Verse 12 of Revelation 21. So I'm talking this morning about the New Jerusalem, the bright eternal home, right? See? Now, Revelation 21, verse 12. I had a wall, describing the city now. I had a wall, great and high. I had 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels. Sorry, yeah, that's right. 12 angels are the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. And on the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city has 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Can you now see when that Judas went his own way, how Matthias had to be chosen to replace him? You see what I'm saying? God already wants me to do that. The foundation, you know, the Holy Spirit, the foundations, right? The name of the 12 apostles of Christ, right? Praise the Lord. He couldn't be 13, you know what he's going to do in the future. Praise the Lord. Anyway, Bible says Judas decided to went his own way, right? Then Matthias was chosen, so to replace him and something like that, you know. So, you know, we see that idea. So, verse 16. And the city lies 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And, he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now we know in our elementary arithmetic, when I was in primary school, we know 8 furlongs make a mile, right? So that's what you learn in primary school. 8 furlongs is a mile. Therefore, the city extends in 3 dimensions. 12,000 furlongs means 1,500 miles, you know, each way. That means that people calculated it out. It means that that city will occupy more than half of the United States. Praise the Lord. Why can't we talk about the eternal city, our eternal home, amen? Praise the Lord. People talk about all kinds of things, right? Anyway, so the size gives also, indication of the population of this eternal city and so forth. Literally, hundreds of millions of the redeemed might find a place in its spacious quarters, you know? Verse 17 says, and you measure the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of the man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. You have to read this thing yourself when you get back and just even look at the material by which these things are made. Amen. praise, we can see how they don't. I begin to discuss as well as you know, of jasper, and the city was a pure gold, like unto clear glass. Verse 19 says, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, as if it were transparent glass. So if that last verse refers to the houses and homes of the inhabitants, then think about it. Then the redeemed are to live in palaces of transparent gold. Isn't it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a magnificent spectacle such a city must present from a distance, lit up by the glory of God. The description is surpassingly grand. It is of a celestial origin. There are no mortal hands in the construction of it at all, you know. It is the place of God. I say there is no mortal hand in the construction of this celestial city. Praise the Lord. Indeed, it is the place our Lord Jesus Christ said he was going back to heaven to prepare for his church, the bride. John 14, let me read that one. 1 to 3 verses and so forth. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. You are thinking earlier today, you are expecting him, right? I will come again. This is one of my favorite scriptures, right? To throw the devil away and so on. He is coming soon. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, your dream, in your life and so on. This is my favorite verse. I'm talking about the coming of the Lord. He promises and he can never fail. Amen. Amen. Heaven and earth have passed away. My war will never pass away. The Lord said, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Don't be surprised to find yourself walking on Mount Zion with him. We want 44,000, amen. Revelation 14. Praise the Lord. They were redeemed from the earth, right? Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway, so we see. It is just such a place as we will expect the divine architect to design and build. He has been busy for 2,000 years now. This magnificent creation that will lighten the world with glory is in no doubt nearing completion, if not already completed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yes, sir. You know what? If you know in the Bible there are many types, we have types and antitypes. Abraham tied the elect in so many ways, you know. And one way in which he tied the elect was that he was called from idolatry. He hasn't done any good or bad, you know what I'm saying, that he can put his hand upon. In the Bible, even says he has a place to boast, not in God, right? Couldn't put up anything. Praise the Lord. He was called out of idolatry home. Let me show that in Joshua 24. When Joshua was finishing his testimony or his ministry and so forth, beginning to admonish the children of Israel, Joshua 24:2, talking of where Abraham came from. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus said the Lord God of Israel, your father dwelt on the other side of the flood in old times. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, watch this one now, and the father of Nahor, and they serve other gods. That's where Abraham came from. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not by the rock, not by his own word that he was saved or was called. It was predestination. Praise the Lord. Predestination was upon him. Destiny of God was upon him, as well as you know. So, in a summary, the death of God in the same way. Let me see in the Corinthian church, where we are told in 1 Corinthians 12 to talk about where people came from and from before we came to Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 to talk about idols. You know, the Corinthian church and the church in general, so that You are Gentiles, you know, carried away unto this dumb idol, even as you are there. See? Ephesians 2:8, I believe it is this, by grace. And we say through faith, right? Not of ourselves, right? It is the gift of God. That's any man should boast. Praise the Lord. So anyway, what I want to bring out here is Abraham, a type of the elect, 4,000 years ago, began to look for this city. Amen? Mm. Let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And then he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned. He was in Canaan now. Yeah, he was about to go before. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, look at the verse 10. For he looked for a city which has foundations. How many foundations has the New Jerusalem? How many of them? 12 foundations. Amen. Praise God. What was he looking for? That has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I have to. Anyway, God appeared to him many times. Genesis 14. He appeared to him. There. Genesis 18. When he was coming from the defeat of those kings and so on and so on. God even broke bread with him and things like that, you know, and gave him wine. Amen. He did communion with him. Praise the Lord. Amen. No, he was a prophet. You know, Bible says so. You know that king, when he took his wife, oh, you are a dead man. He's my prophet. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why he knew about the New Jerusalem. Like, it's by revelation, right? Was revealed to him. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, I'm Canaan now, but far beyond Canaan. That's a heavenly Canaan. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is eternal destination. Praise you, the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyway, so if Abraham looked for that city 4,000 years ago, how much more should we? Not only look, but even talk about it as we are doing this morning as often as we can today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, sir. You see, what do we talk about? We are told in Colossians 2:3-2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And the Lord said to us in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's why we're talking about the bright eternal hope and so on, that, you know. Now, let's clarify. The New Jerusalem is not heaven itself. No. For we are told in verse 10 of Revelation 21, we are told it's not heaven itself, but look at what's in 21. 10 of Revelation, and he carried me away, in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. And God read the Bible. Praise God. No scripture is of private interpretation. Praise God. It is his own interpreter. God is his own interpreter. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, 21 verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamp is the light thereof. Praise the Lord. When he was there, well, I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world, isn't it? Praise the Lord. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 24, verse, are the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall no night there. That shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever walketh abomination, or maketh a lie. Now watch. Who are the inhabitants of the city? But they which are written in the last book of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, at one time, I believe in Luke 10. Oh, not that. Oh, the devil, we went and preached everywhere, and the devil was subject unto us in your name. The Lord said, that's okay, that's fine, that's what I tell you to do. Don't even rejoice at that. Rejoice because your name are written in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway, so that last verse that I read, it doesn't mean that, it doesn't imply that, it says that the new heart now, that is the new heaven, that is the new heart. The people of the new heart will bring their glory to the new Jerusalem, right? That's what it's saying there. So, but the thing is this, it doesn't mean that there will be people of the new Jerusalem, I mean the new heart, with the sinful people. No, because even the new heart itself will be of people who are sinless. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, so we see. So the bride of Christ, they which are written in the last book of life, will inhabit the new Jerusalem. A little digression here, who are the inhabitants or the happy inhabitants of the new heart? We are told that it be a new heaven, new heart. So who are going to inhabit the new heart then? If the bride elect, you know, inhabit the new Jerusalem and so forth. Well, let's see in the scripture. The people who inhabited the heart after the flood were the lineal descendants of Noah. We know that in the Bible, right? So after the flood, the people that inhabit the ark were the lineal, direct descendants of Noah. That's in Genesis 6, 13 to 16. I won't go to read that one, but that's where it is and so on. So these people escaped the flood in an ark which God instructed Noah to build, right? We should not count it incredible that during the renovation of the ark by fire, that's how this ark will be renovated by fire and so on. God will, in some manner not yet revealed to us, take off the righteous representative of the millennial nation. He take them off. Those people are still now because this earth will be renovated by fire, right? So we can read within the line that the people in the millennium, the righteous people, God will take them off while this earth is renovated by fire. We don't really need to know between the lines in the scripture and so forth, So when the heart again is, renovated and fit to be the abode of men, the Lord will place them back on the new heart that they may increase and multiply and replenish it as God told Adam and Noah. Let us look at that, what we are talking about here. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, meaning Adam and Eve. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. We know between Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2, something happened to the earth, right? There was a void, all of a sudden, right? A void and so on. The pre-Adamic world perished. How do you know? There is a lot in between Genesis 1, and then it says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, right? Number 2, then the earth was void. What happened to it? Jeremiah 4, we tell us a little story, you can bring half time. Or even Job, and so the other book in the Bible. Anyway, so we know that. So after he created Adam, they had to replenish now, that which was wiped out and so forth, So now there's a replenishing after the pandemic war was wiped out. Even after the flood, there was a replenishing in Genesis 9:1. And God blessed Noah and his sons. And said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the heart. So what we are saying is this. When the heart is renovated by fire, in the future, near future, I don't know how long it's going to be. So if God could take off, for example, even Elijah the prophet, if God could take him off this heart, translated him and said that, and we bring him back again to be one of the two witnesses, right? To announce, to warn the Jews of the Antichrist and to expose his wicked things and so on to the Jews and to the rest of the tribulation things and so on, God bring him back. So what is it for him to bring the people who survive the millennium and God take them, off of this earth to renovate it and then bring them back to now, God replenish the new earth again. It's not, I don't think it's incredible to think of that of our great God. We are thinking of how great he was. How great he is in our song this morning. I think it's all in line together. I'm going to speak more about how great he is, you know, in the creation and so on. So we are thinking that if God could take off Elijah for the purpose of sending him back again as one of his two witnesses, Revelation 11 tells us that, to herald the visible coming. People are always trying to disagree with in the coming of the Lord to the world church. Those who even believe that he's coming at all, they think just a singular one, not really. But God has revealed to his elect that his secret cast away of the bride. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus and so on, like, you know. So we know that many fish shall bear out. Revelation 1:7. And Bible say, behold, and so on, he cometh with the clouds, and all eyes have seen him. And those who cast him, right, as Revelation 1:7. That's not the rapture. I should take place about many years before that time. Praise the Lord. The rapture is Revelation 4:1-3. The rapture is Thessalonians before 4:16-18. Praise the Lord. Bible says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise forth. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught all together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. So the one who sees him at that time, praise the Lord, the rapture. Praise the Lord. We have to tell the story every day. Praise God, that's our blessed hope. Praise the Lord. That is our blessed hope, you know. So we talk about it every day and something like that, you know. Anyway, so we see. We just saying this, if it's not God's plan, what I just described to you now, that means that the millennial people that survive and that remain, that God will take them off, renovate the earth and so on, and bring them back, then what will happen, you know, if that's not God's plan, if not his plan, but if that is it, then if it's not God's plan, then we have one type in the Bible that has no archetype. You see? But no, if God doesn't do that way, then we have one type in the Bible that has no archetype. For them, Noah's Ark, which is a type, we have no archetype. You know, after the Lord cleansed the heart with fire again. We leave it idea, you know, praise the Lord Jesus. But he is almighty and so on. People think they know God. Very, very tiny. People are supposed to pass out all the miracles. Have I not seen the Lord, he said, in Acts chapter 9, praise the Lord. Have I not seen the Lord Jesus at the end, you see, that we know him, right? And the power of his resurrection. When we think that he knows God, there they stop growing in God. Amen, praise the Lord. He is infinite. Who can by such as God? You know, praise the Lord. We are today by day, you know, learning about him and so on. And so even not the angels who have been with him years of years, I don't know all about him. Had Lucifer known anything about him, would have done what he did? Maybe not. Praise the Lord. Anyway, let's just quickly go on this one as well. Unlike the creation of Adam after the destruction of the pre-Adamic world, it is clear from Scripture that God does not propose to create a new race for the new earth. You know, after the pre-Adamic world, right? You know, he wiped them out, right? And then Adam came to the scene about 6,000 years ago, right? So we know that. But, when the God renovated the earth, you know, with fire and so on and that, you know, we don't think creating a new race at all, you know, that you know, new human race. Let's think out the scripture. So I'm saying that unlike the creation of Adam, after the destruction of the pre-Adamic world, it is clear from the scriptures, everything that we say about part of the scriptures, right? There must be Bible verse to back them up. Amen? Praise God. Upon the foundation, the word of God. So the scripture, it is clear from the scripture that God does not propose to create a new race for the new earth. I was asking the question, who will inhabit the new earth? If the bride inhabit the new Jerusalem, right? Who will inhabit the new earth? Anyway, let us go to his promise as to Israel is that the descendants of Abraham shall inherit this new earth. Isaiah 66 verse 22 tell us so. Isaiah 66 verse 22. For as the new heaven and the new earth, where did we begin from? It's one. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, right? Now, Isaiah 66 verse 22. For as the new heaven and the new earth, which I will make, the Lord said, shall remain before me, said the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. People always say this. I mean, you said there are two brides in the Bible. There are the bride of Jehovah, right? And I want to go that direction right now. And there's the bride of the Lamb and so forth. We know they are the same one, but I want to go that direction. New Testament says they have their own thing with the Lord and so on and that, you know. Anyway, so we see, right? We see, we see that there. And so it seems clear from the presence back to the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. We can also see some insights from there. So that's the promise he gave to the children of Israel, you know, about the new heart and so on and that, you know. So also looking back into the Garden of Eden, there was the tree of life in there, you know, at Eden and so on. What does that really mean, you know, to us? It means that God intended the human race to populate the earth. And when it became too thickly populated, to use the surplus population to colonize other spheres, you know, and some of that, you know. We just written between the lines now, you know, original intention of God and so on. So now, let's look at our solar system. Even as it is now, from what we know from God, it is even in its infancy. The heart is the only one of its planet in our solar system, right? The heart is the only planet, you know, that we know as yet that is habitable by man, right? Now, the inhabitants of the other planets, if God wants to populate them, where will they come from, you know? I mean, you know, should we think that the planets of our solar system and the planets of other solar systems were made simply to adorn the heaven for our little earth compared to the immeasurable universe and so on, that's all that God has for this earth, you know, or earth, that's all that God made it for. I think he has greater plan than that. God does not plan things on a small scale at all, and it magnifies his power and wisdom to believe that he created man in his own likeness and endowed man with the power of creation, that he might, by means of man, populate the universe. It's not too little for God even to do. Praise the Lord. I said, it's not too little for God to do. Populate the universe. It's not too little for him. He's the Almighty. I was thinking earlier today how great he is, right? Praise the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
This magnifies the scheme of redemption, actually. Another question is this. Did God give the Lord Jesus Christ his son on Calvary just to redeem a few billion of the human race? That's all that he knows that he died for? I think more than that. God could have blotted out the human race, as he probably did in the pre-Adamic age, and created a new race. But if God does that now, Satan will laugh. Why? Because for the second time, Satan will have blocked the eternal purposes of God, for populating this earth with righteous, sinless people. So God won't create a new race at all. Satan can have laughter. Only God will have. He that sits in the heaven will laugh. Amen. David said, amen. Praise the Lord. He that sits in the Lord himself will have the laughter and for the laughter. No, God will not permit Satan to block his plan for peopling this earth with a sinless human race. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ was not merely to redeem a few billions of the human race, but to redeem the heart itself and the race itself from the curse of sin and the dominion of Satan. The Bible tells us that we are only the first fruit of his creation. What I'm saying right now. Let me get to that in James chapter 1 verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. I came from the farm also, you know. When the first fruit came out, not much of it, right? You know, maybe a few yam here get right, maybe a few here of corn get right, and so on. So the question is, if we are the first fruit of his creation, what will the harvest be? Amen? Praise the Lord. He is the Almighty, you know, so and so that, you know. He can populate the universe with people at the end of the age, so he can populate them. So just to, you know, magnify him, he is the Almighty and so on. Now, let me say this again. The universe is very young, even so now. And even there, the scripture declares that the heavens cannot be measured. I'm just enlarging open our eyes to what God might do, in the future and so on, when this new heart is created and so on. The heart is renovated and so on, And so, the Bible says that heaven cannot even be measured. Jeremiah 31:37. Thus said the Lord, the heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the heart search out beneath. And we also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, said the Lord. So, what the Lord is saying here, let's put it in perspective in today's understanding of science and astronomy and so on like that, let's see this. It takes light 3 seconds traveling at 182,000 miles per second to make a round trip to the moon from the earth here. The light that is coming from the moon that is going through for about 1.5 minutes. So for that to go from here to the moon and back, about three seconds, right? That is at 180,000 miles per second. Going beyond the moon, it took light several minutes to reach Mars. Mars is the next our neighbor, away from the sun. Right? You have Mercury, you have Venus, then you have our heart, then you have Mars, right? So from our heart, for light to several minutes to reach Mars, from the earth and so on. Going forward, outward from the sun, Jupiter is about 40 minutes away from here at the speed of light. Saturn is over an hour at 1,000 miles per second, right? Nearly 6 hours are required for light to reach Pluto, the outermost of the planets of our solar system. When you leave Pluto, you don't count as a planet now, whatever you call it. When you leave Pluto, then you have a vast gulf of space now, many, many trillions of miles away. Talking about how great it is, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Trillions of miles. When you leave Pluto and so on. Trillions of miles to get to our nearest neighbor, which are the stars now, And then we know, I always say that one here, I say it again. So light requires nearly 4 years to reach the nearest star, such as Alpha Centauri. That's 4 years, And Milky Way galaxy, we call it, is nearly 100,000 light years in diameter. You see the diagram, it's like a circular thing, right? I've been looking at the astronomical, diagram of the galaxies and so on. So our one is called the Milky Way, right? The diameter is 100,000 light years, And when that the light year is about 6 trillion miles, we are talking of our Milky Way galaxy, it will be 600,000 trillion miles. That is 6 followed by 17 zeros. Praise the Lord. Are you thinking how great I is? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyway. So, the Andromeda galaxy is 2 million light years distant. And ranging out hundreds of millions of light years and millions of great galaxies similar in size and magnitude to our own Milky Way here. As far as that, astronomers have discovered, they have discovered stellar systems that are billions of light years distant. And there appears to be no thinning out of the universe at all, but they continue on out to the utmost limits of telescopic vision. It appears, they said, that the universe is infinite in size as far as man is concerned. And it is. But our Lord knows it all. He's the creator, isn't he? Psalm 147, verse 4 says, he tells the number of the stars, right? He calls them all by their names. Verse 5 says, great is our Lord. I was thinking earlier today. Great is our Lord and great power. His understanding is infinite. Now, a little bit more of this. Science is in our generation, has discovered that the universe is even expanding at a rapid rate and bringing our horizon to This our little earth, like a tiny speck of dust in the cosmic universe, right? Praise the Lord. To magnify how great our Lord Jesus is upon earth, you know. Anyway, science is in our generation, you know, has discovered that the universe is expanding at a rapid rate. It says the stars and the great galaxies are expanding out to feed the universe, the utmost of which are moving at a speed approaching that of light. You know, expanding and so on. Can you imagine? The universe expanding at the speed of light. Praise the Lord. God is greater. How great thou art, O Lord. The scientific conclusion is that there is no end to the study space at all, no end to it and so on, as far as man is concerned. These are facts that the Bible already disclosed thousands of years ago. I can't go to get all the Bible verses, I don't have time for that right now, that tell you the heart is stretched, it stretches forth and so on, you know. But I will give one scripture that about the Lord Jesus, Isaiah 9:6, you know. All the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end in it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, all these infinite universes and so forth, they are all contained in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is the Almighty. He created them all and so on like that. You know, I always like Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And look at this verse, verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. I don't care how many galaxies and billions, in him does do all things consist. Amen? Praise the Lord. That thing Jesus is in you, amen? All the blessings are in him. Everything you know, but yet it's still in you. He is the Almighty. Praise the Lord Jesus. Okay, now, let me ask a question here. What are scientists doing today? I have this question here. Is it a possibility that God may populate other planets? I have been saying all those things to show you what God might do in the far future that we don't know. I ask this question to myself. Is it a possibility that God may populate other planets and universes and so on with people? What Satan is mimicking or making the scientists to mimic today in their effort to explore other habitable planets, that is spending money, they want to go to Mars and so on. For example, I put here, Elon Musk's plan, sea centers on eventually sending humans to Mars with a target for the first uncrewed Starship mission for late next year, he says. And a potential human landing on Mars as early as 2029 or 2031, he says. You think what they call the SpaceX Starship, that is having a problem right now. But it's working on it and so on, that, you know, thinking they can go to Mars and even land man on Mars. I have news for them anyway. You know, like the Tower of Babel, God will interrupt this program, amen? Praise the Lord. Obadiah 1:4. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, then will I bring thee down, said the Lord. Amen? Ungodly projects and something like that, you know. Some bad stuff of things. God will bring them down, these adults and something like that, you know. So anyway, when this heart, finishing up this morning, I mean, just talking about the Jerusalem and so on, then we talked about the new heart, a little bit and so on. When this heart shall have gone through, it's a baptism of fire. It will go through it, God promised and so on. That, you know, one day, we will talk about the end of the world too. In the past, we did this before, but let us know the destiny, you know, of this world and so on. That, you know. Anyway, when this heart shall have gone through its baptism of fire and shall be again fit for the occupancy of man, the representative of the saved nation, Revelation 21, as I read before, will be men and women in whom no taint of sin will remain, and who cannot therefore impart it to their offspring. Who will be like the offspring of Adam and Eve would have been had they not sinned. And the people of the new heart will be no sinless. No, the new heart and so on, like the new heart and so on, you know. And that is not even the new Jerusalem. I'm talking about the new heart. You see? That is God's plan for Adam originally. So their children will not have sin, and they can't pass it on to anybody and so on like that, you know. So and so you know, so they're sinless and so on like that, you know, and you know. So that's what God planned for Adam and so on like that, you know, in the beginning he does not sin and so on. And we know one of the purposes of God in translating Enoch was to show what would have happened to Adam and Eve if they had not sinned. It would have been translated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. And all this magnifies why the whole scheme of redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ and justifies God in the creation of the human race. So we know the new earth, illuminated by the glory of the holy city, New Jerusalem, will be a perfect civilization where holiness and righteousness will dwell. Instead of a competition and rivalries, which are the motivating impetus of the present human society, love will be the prevailing law, even in the new heart. Praise the Lord. Don't even think, don't look at it, the bride is even in Jerusalem, right? Whose life lasting the new heart. Praise the Lord. God has sin for his people. Praise God. Anyway, so the citizens of the new of that heavenly community will be knit together as members of one body, each fitted for a particular task, each contributing his part in the great economy of God. For each true member of the Church of Christ, there is a place prepared of the Lord, as we read this morning. Yes, sir. As we are in this world today, getting ready for his coming, some who claim to be disciples of Christ loiter in the race. I want to finish with this kind of warning to us, and we should watch and pray. There are some today, despite what I have been saying this morning, this grandeur plan of God and so on, there are some Christians, who loiter in this race. We don't want to fall into that category of people. Now, they should remember the word of our Lord Jesus Christ when speaking to the Philadelphia church. That church is the only church that has not one single rebuke. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even the very first one, Ephesian church, has a rebuke. They left their first love. Praise the Lord. Each and every and that's the last one, the Philadelphia church is the what? The lock him up. Revelation 3:20. Nothing to get back to his church. What is that? They lock out the word of God, right? They preach all kinds of things, but the word of God, see, they lock him up. So anyway, that Philadelphia church, I can call it the eighth church if you want, you know, that has no sin whatsoever. And the Lord gave a warning in India in Revelation 3:11 to him. Behold, I come quickly. Hold thou fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I always like the tenth verse. Anyway, you know, it's good. So that one says that because you have kept the word of my patience, right? I also will keep you from the hour of temptation. So I come to try all and then upon the face of the earth. Then put this warning here. You know, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So this warning indicates that the reward intended for us could, if we allow ourselves to falter in the race, be lost forever. See? Let us not forget the lesson of the parable of the great supper. Now, hold fast what you have, right? Don't look at the mega churches. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hold on to the word of God. Enoch walked with God, right? And he was not found. Genesis 5:24. For God took him, right? Hebrews 5:11, 5:6, right? Praise the Lord. So don't look at the mega people and so what they are doing and so. Keep your eye. Once you have received the end time message, what is the end time message? The coming of the Lord dressed now, amen? That should be the foremost in our heart and looking unto his coming. Anyway, so this warning indicates that the reward intended for us could, if we allow ourselves to falter in the race, be lost forever. Let us not forget the lesson of the parable of the great supper. What was it? Many were called to that feast. In summary, I don't have enough time to read it. But when the invitation was ignored or taken lightly, right? What happened to them? The Lord commanded that his servants, you know, in Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and the edges and compel them to come. To come in rather. that my house may be filled. So we may be sure that whether some accept this invitation of the soon coming of the Lord, or they decline it, or whatever it is, we know for sure God's house will be filled. Amen. Praise the Lord. May the Lord account us worthy to be of them who hold fast that which we have. Don't begin to dilly-dally and so on, that you know, all kind of doctrines flying on the internet and so on, that you know, without checking the scripture whatsoever. One prophecy over there and so on, that today, you know, all that kind of thing. Where are you in the scripture and so on, that you know? Hold to the word of God and so on, that you know. Hold that which you have, and let no man take our crown. This morning, may we be full of expectation concerning his promise in John 14:3. And if I go away, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, no? And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let me even read further, you know, in that by John 14 and so on, verse 4 says, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Someone said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Then from the popular verse that we all know when we get saved, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Praise the Lord. In the same way, so the Lord Jesus is the way to the celestial city, the eternal city. Amen. He is the way. Praise the Lord. He has come before us now, and he is preparing an eternal home for you and I, who have become children of God through faith in his name. So this morning, let us hold fast to that which we have. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let no man take your crown. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us sing this chorus, and you may open to this. All to God's unchanging hand. All to God's unchanging hand. Lay your hopes on this eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Ah, we tell us that song can be close, eh?
Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Lay your hopes on this eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. One more time. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. In your hope of unchanging hand. Oh, to God's unchanging hand.
Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. How the prophet says, thy words were found, I did it there. Thy word is the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. May that always be our situation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, labor not for the need that perishes, but that which endureth unto everlasting life. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord God of Elijah is with us, sir. Before his transition, he provided all he needed. He has promised us, as we seek for the kingdom of God, he will add all these things to us. Help us to adhere to your word, Lord, in the almighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, the word of deception is the more we end the age, the more deception we have. Bible says the answer can deceive the whole world. Can you imagine that when the blood is taken out of that? It deceived the whole world. Even the Lord has warned that. If it were possible, he will deceive the very elect. That's why we keep his word in our heart, that we will not be all that are deceived as the age closes. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for your love towards us, Lord. And we know in Luke 12, and we are holding on, Lord. Little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And looking steadfastly, looking unto his coming. And the Bible says we want to end with this prayer, Lord, trusting the Lord to always supply all our need. The Bible says he opened his hand, satisfied the desire of every living thing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, continue opening to us your good treasure. In the name of Jesus, Bible says in Romans 8, we are heirs of God, and we are joined here with Christ. All thine is ours, Lord, and all ours is thine. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our eyes are upon the Lord, not in our circumstances, Lord, oh God. Lord, they look unto him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you, the Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Blessed be thy holy name, O Lord. What shall he not also freely give unto us? He that spare not his own son, but deliver him for us all. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised for our justification. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. No condemnation whatsoever. Lord, thank you, Father. So he supplied all our needs. So now we now begin to say again above it all. Lord, I count us worthy to escape all these things that have won us about, Lord, and to stand before the Son of Man. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, and to preserve us blameless, you know, or faultless, before the presence of your glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion forever and ever. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
And in the praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, brethren. To be here.